We have discussed the inyan of Emunah, which is a Yerusha from our Avos HaGadoshim, from Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, especially from Avraham Avinu, Kohen by the Shem, the Reish L'Maaminim. And a Yid instinctively believes in the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, except where he tries to deny it. You have that in next week's Sedra, Vayar Esav Kireis V'nais K'nan Bein Yitzchak Aviv Vayelech Esav Al Yishmael Vayekach Es Machlas Pas Nevaya Yisachais Yishmael Oy Leisha. Rashi explains that Esav saw that Vayar Esav Kibeirach Yitzchak Aviv Es Yankiv V'shilach Esav Padan Aram Lakachas Leisha from Aram. So Esav went to Yishmael to get married because he saw that his wives aren't satisfactory to Yitzchak and Rivka. How did he see? Because Yankov Avinu got the brachas. Esav did all the averus you could imagine. In the day that he became 15, he was over on the five major averus in the Torah, and one of them is kfira betchias ameisim. Hini anoichi hayolech lamus. And he killed that day, and he was over on znus that day with an ara meirasa, the way the Medrash tells us. And he saw that Yankov was sent to marry somebody not from the Benais Knoan. So Esav was wondering, why didn't I get the brachas? Why did Yankov get the brachas? Oh, I know. Because I have bad wives. So he went to Ishmael from the family of Avram, and he took Machlas. He's all right, Esav. Esav is worthy of getting the brachas. His wives are to blame. Rationalization. The Gemara says that Lo avdu Yisrael avodah zara al kedei lahatil ha'marayos b'farhesia. They went after the avodah zara to justify that they should be able to be over on arayos. They needed a justification. It says in Medrash, it's Chazal, V'lo yisusuru achrei levavichem zu minus, v'yachrei einechem zu znus. Don't be lured by your eyes. Zu minus, that means kfira, not believing. V'yachrei einechem zu znus. The shaila is, when somebody doesn't believe minus, he doesn't believe he's a kaifer, what shaychus does that have with his eyes? Eyes are attracted to arayos, to znus, but not to minus. Here, the Torah, the Chachamim, darshan from the Torah, and they tell us the side of minus. When the Rabbeinu Shel Olam tells a yid, don't be a min, don't be an unbeliever, the Torah says, don't covet arayos. Don't go after arayos. After the Yetzer Hara, after the temptation, your lusts, after your animalistic inclinations. Because if you do go after arayos, you're going to justify yourself, and you're going to say, well, it's all right, but the Torah is no good. Kfira. It'll bring you to kfira. It isn't because he's a kaifer, he's over on Nerva. Because he wants to be over on Nerva, he wants to find a justification for himself. So he's a kaifer. I was once a rabbi, small children, in Yeshiva Talvadas, about over 40 years ago. And I had 10-year-old children. I hope it's much better today. I understand it's much better today. In those days, the English department was an autonomy, and they taught whatever they want. And they even gave the Yiddish Kindernabach a smattering of evolution. They taught them about evolution, about Darwin's theory, and that we all come out from the from monkeys or whatever. Based. All right. So the kids came to me. I should explain them what's going on. So I told them a story for 10-year-old kids. It's a juvenile story, it's a baby story. But I'll tell you the story. Because some of us are babies and they have to hear a baby story. I told them that in the principal's office, at that time it was Rabbi Pinkus, in the principal's office, two Africans came. They just came from Africa. And they were illiterate, they didn't know anything. But they were intelligent, and they came into the office, they were given a job there, and for the first time in their life, they saw a watch. What's this watch? So they were explained that you can tell time on the watch. This is the minute hand, and this is the hour hand, and this is the second hand. They were wondering, they were intelligent Africans, they were wondering, what makes the watch go? How could the watch know what time it is? And they were walking back and forth, trying to find the solution to this great mystery of the watch. And then one of them jumps. I got it. I got it. Well, what did he get? He knows how the watch works. And like a real African, he understands how the watch works. Inside the watch, there are tubes, circular tubes, large tubes and small tubes. Inside the tubes, there are bugs, large bugs and small bugs. In the nose of every bug, there's a splinter. And at the edge of the splinter, there's some cheese. And at the tail of every bug, there's a string that's attached to one of the hands. Now the big bugs, they run around after the cheese, but perpetually, they never get it. But they pull the second hands. The smaller bugs pull the minute hands. And the tiny bugs, they pull the hour hands. Oh, it's a wonder, yeah, the other Africans, they are gefangen geworden. It's a wonderful theory. It holds water. And he thinks ahead, thinks ahead. And then the second African gives a jump. And he says, I can prove your theory. I can prove it. Because if you take the watch and put it next to your ear, you actually can hear the stamping of the bugs inside. This is the story. These scientists, now I'm not saying Dafka scientists are the apikorsim. Among the scientists, there are believers and non-believers. Among those who have laundromats, among butchers, there are believers and non-believers. I never took the statistics, but I don't think that that the proportion of kafrim among the scientists is more than among the butchers, bakers, or candlestick makers. I don't know. Misam, it's the same. But they have a platform, because they have journals where they print the findings. So they say that there was evolution, and that there was a big blast, and the world came all by itself. The world came all by itself. So they have a theory how the world made. It was a big explosion, and all of a sudden a world came. And they think about it and think about it. And then another one comes with a proof. He'll bring certain fossils and carbons and azoche zachen, and he'll prove that it took several million years for this to develop and several million years for this to develop, and they have proof of the first genesis, how it all started and how it developed, and they can prove it, and every 10 years they come with another proof or they vary, they change theory. Pinnanahir la'ayulam, as Rabbi Pinkus told those Africans, what you're saying is very smart, but I would suggest when you know how to read, go to the library. There's a book from a watchmaker and he explains how a watch is made. You're going to find some surprises there. They have theories, but there is a book that explains how the world was made. V'yagid lechem es b'risei zeh sefer b'reishis. In the sefer b'reishis you have an account how the world was made, and the maker wrote that book. The Rabbeinu Shleim wrote that book. Why don't you go to that book? Teretz says no. If they go to that book, Lavdol, they're going to read further, and they're going to find out Leiteitzach and Leitenaf and Leitignaif. They can't accept it. Can't. Can't ride a car with the brakes on. You have to go through life with all these isurim and all these mitzvahs. So they make their own theory. They rationalize. They can't accept the account of the Torah, how the world was made. Li'olam, they have kashas. All these kashas are klutz kashas. There are leaks in all these kashas. You can easily answer them. With a little yediyah, with a little understanding, you can answer these kashas. The fact that certain scientific tests show that this is 1 million years old or this is 2 million years old, you can answer these kashas. I won't go into it now because we'll never finish. If anybody wants to hear privately, I'll talk to him about it. All these kashas, they're mamish. Kashas like when somebody in the first year Gemara starts asking kashas. The answers are real simple. There's no kashas. Whatever they say doesn't make sense. That they say that such a wonderful world, such a world with so many pleias, so many wonders, so much proof that there's a maker that made this world, that there is a controller who controls this world. You see it wherever you go. You see it in every square, in every cubic inch of the Briya, you see the Rabbeinu Shleilem. How wonderful everything is. Can you say that all happened by itself? Like the Chayav HaSalavava says that classic mashal. He says that there was a beautiful picture, a masterpiece of art, hanging in the museum. One of those really classic masterpieces of art, with a meadow, with cows, with a brook, with some people there, with trees, and such a gorgeous picture. So somebody asks, who made this picture? How did it come to be a picture? So somebody answers, well, there was a closet. On top of the closet, there were a few bottles of paint. On the floor, there was a large sheet of paper. And then there was a tornado. And the tornado broke the window and flew down the closet. And the paint splashed down. And that's how you have this picture. Would you believe him? Such a beautiful picture came from a big splash? Such a masterpiece of art? Or a beautiful poem was printed by a splash of ink? A masterpiece of poetry? This world of ours, we'll elaborate just a little bit on that, is a masterpiece of poetry. It's Shira to the Rabbeinu Shalayim. Marabu Masecha Hashem in the capital Kuf Dalet in Tehillim, David HaMelech sings about the Bria. He sings about the wonders of this gorgeous, wonderful, harmonious Bria, the harmonious creation that we have, the universe. And he speaks about the trees, and he speaks about the animals, and about the fish, and about the birds, and about the tides, and about the rivers and the oceans. And he exclaims with ecstasy, Marabu Masecher Hashem, Ay Gevalt Rabbeinu Shalom, how wonderful are your doings. Kulam Bechach Ma'asisa, Malorat Kinyanecha, the whole world, every inch of the world is full with the nyanam that we can be kainer you, Rabbeinu Shalom, that we could understand you, that we could behold you. We see the Rabbeinu Shalom in the Bria. Let's start with ourselves. Now, I am not going to give you any lectures in medicine. But just a few little things, which is a dogma, which is a sample of what you can see. Iyev says, Mibsari erza aleika. I see the Rabbeinu Shalom from my own body. I was by a foot doctor last week. So they had on the wall a diagram of how the foot works. A large diagram of so much detail. So many nerves, so many veins, so everything fits. Everything to each finger. This nerve controls this finger. This nerve controls this finger. And this vein feeds this portion of the foot, and this vein, this, and everything is eisgehalten. If one of these thousands of little items wouldn't be correctly situated, the person is a cripple. It can't walk. Just that's the foot. Everything is eisgehalten. Everything works. The body has millions and millions and millions, countless millions of details in it. Everything has a reason. The medical profession already have a habit that when they keep on finding new things and new things and new things in the body. And when they find a new thing, they try to figure out what's the function of this new thing. Why do you try to figure out what the function is? Maybe it has no function. Maybe it's there extra. No, there's no such thing. Because the medical profession knows so much about the body and so much about the wonders of the body, that they know that there's nothing extra. Everything has a reason. I was once, I had a deer in Eretz Yisrael over the summer, and the son of the owner of the deer was studying medicine. So there was a primary book on anatomy. A book of several hundred pages, to begin studying anatomy. So he starts with the spine, and he starts explaining the spine, and everything is for this purpose and for this purpose and for this purpose, and wonders in the human body. And the every page has about 10 or 15 wonders, and there's 300 pages in that book. Well, multiply that by 15. And then there are many, many books, and only about anatomy. I started reading. The spine is formed like an S, you know, it has a curve, like an S. It has a counter. Why is it that it's formed like an S? Because if somebody, let's say, would jump off from a height, he would stand on the table and jump to the floor. If his back would have been straight, the vertebrae would crack under the pressure. But now that it's like a spine, it's like a spring. So it bends. It bends like a spring. And that absorbs the pressure. They know that the back of a person is not straight, not like a stick, but it's like a S with a curvature. The curvature has a reason. They see a curvature and they know that it has to have a reason, because nothing in the human body is without a reason. Everything has its reason. So they figured out that, and they tried it, and they made experiments that if they would take, let's say, a skeleton and arrange that this and arrange that everything should be straight, and then a normal skeleton, and throw them down on the floor, one would crack and the other one won't crack, because it's resilient. It bends. Everything has a reason. Mipsari erzoleika. I see the Rabbanya Shalayalam from my own basa, from my own body. All these wonders in the body, can you say that this happened from a big explosion? All of a sudden, it's nonsense. How could it be? They have certain stories that proofs that the world is much more than 5,000 years old. In a way, they're right. But we don't know our Chumash. That's all. We have to learn Chumash with Mefarshim, especially with the Seder Satayra. In the Zohar, we can find out wonderful things to answer all their kashas, because the Zohar tells us the Seder of the Bria. I read many years ago when they shot the first spaceship into space and it started circling the world with a meridic velocity, and it was in order papers, and that thing went up into the skies. So I saw an article in the New York Times. In those days you were allowed to look into the New York Times, yet today you can't. So I saw an article in the New York Times that they interviewed a certain lady, a Jewish lady from Yemen, from Taman, what she thinks about this great feat of the Russians, that they shot a spaceship into the above the atmosphere. So she says, and it goes into the skies. So she says, it couldn't be. I don't believe it. It's foulish like the Avodah Zarah. So they ask why. So she says, because she heard from her father that the gates of heaven are in Yerushalayim. Because it says, "V'sar shara shemayim." She heard from her father the gates of heaven are in Yerushalayim. How could that spaceship go to the heavens without first coming to Yerushalayim? It has to go through the gates. So she has a kasha from Chumash on this account this great feat. What's wrong here? She knows the Chumash, but she didn't learn the Rasha. Rasha says something else. Rezeh Shara Shemayim means that the tefillahs go up through Yerushalayim, but not that if somebody wants to take a ride to the heavens, that he has to go through Yerushalayim. It's Amaratzis. There are no stiras between scientific knowledge, between absolute scientific knowledge and the Torah. There's no such thing. There is stiras between scientific theory. They come up every time with theories, and every 10 years they change. But knowledge, absolute knowledge, Adarab, in the Torah you find that the Torah beat them to it. We find all those things in the Torah already before. In the Mefarshim of the Torah, in the Torah Shebi'al Peh, which Moshe Rabbeinu was Mekabel on the Har Sinai, the Midrashim, the Zaya, or the Sfarim of Kabbalah. I'm not telling you to learn Kabbalah, I don't learn it either, but a little smattering we see here and there. So there we find the Terutzim for all these things. There's no Stiras, but by them it's Amaratzis. So it's nonsense to say, it's unacceptable to say that the world has no bashefa, that the world is not controlled by any great Rabbeinu Shel Olam who does take care of the affairs of the world. Why did I say it? It's rationalization. They don't want to accept the truth, because if they do accept the truth, they're going to have to keep the rest of the Torah. That they're too weak. like the story of the sour grapes, which we spoke about last week. We'll in Mir Hashem be marach on that next time. I couldn't tell exactly.